Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready to wine! Get ready to wine! Kaluma ding ding ding, namyalanga de, kapoko etana, kamati etana, kamatu etana, ding ding ding, namyalanga de, kapoko etana, kamati etana.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm Dan Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and happy Mother's Day. This is Lori Picka from Michigan.
Yes, tonight we're going to focus on conspiracy theories, right-wing propaganda media, white nationalism, evangelical movement, and xenophobia that's currently plaguing America. Of course, we'll speak about the verdict in the E. Jean Carroll case, the trial against the King of Swamp, Donald Trump. How will the verdict affect his political aspirations? Will Trump do the right thing by paying up the $5 million verdict? And will George Santos have the decency to finally resign from Congress? As no, he's been arrested, and then he's been charged with fraud and other things. This and any other thing you'd like to talk about, call us at 515-605-9802. Say first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all your TVs and any background noise that is distracting to us as hosts. And to the listeners out there, remember to visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. We represent everything right with nut jobs here in America. And this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so Lori, first on the agenda, George Santos, that clown in New York, District 3.
Mm-hmm.
He's been charged with fraud, money laundering, and more crimes in New York court.
Mm-hmm.
And federal prosecutors have hit him with money laundering and other crimes, including fraud, as I said earlier. So Santos, who's 34 years old, was arrested this past Wednesday morning, the Justice Department said, and he pleaded not guilty in his arraignment before U.S. Magistrate Judge Arlene Lindsay in Central Islip Courthouse in New York. He was ordered to be released on $500,000 bond and agreed to surrender his passport. You know, why is George Santos held to a different standard than Donald Trump? Because basically they're the same thing, but I guess, you know, he's just a lonely congressman, and Trump was a former president. You know, different treatment. If it were anybody else, I'd be thrown in the slammer until trial date. So we're going to hear from George Santos as he faces wire fraud, money laundering charges, along with lying to Congress. Here's a little one-minute clip.
CBS News has learned that federal prosecutors have filed criminal charges against Congressman George Santos. This latest revelation follows a month-long investigation into the New York lawmaker's finances and financial disclosures.
If he broke the public trust like they're saying he did, then yeah, he should absolutely, you know, face the consequences.
While the charges against Santos haven't been made public, the FBI and Justice Department have been investigating Santos' campaign finance irregularities since he took office in January, specifically as to how he raised hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Our member of Congress
is a liar, a fraud, and a criminal, and needs to go.
Long Island lawmaker Josh Mazen became the latest to call for Santos' expulsion from the House. While Santos has admitted to embellishing parts of his resume, he has come under repeated scrutiny and criticism stemming from allegations regarding his pattern of lies in relation to his heritage, family history, and employment history. Santos has repeatedly resisted calls to resign and recently announced he was running for re-election.
I haven't seen the indictment, but as you know, with George Santos, I did not put him on any committees. For those like Senator Menendez, who was indicted in the trial, he was still able to vote, and others. I believe he's the chairman of the committee today. In America, we'll just follow the same pattern we always have.
Sources tell CBS News Santos is expected to appear in court later today. Astrid Martinez, CBS News, New York.
Yes, so George Santos is, you know, out and about on $500,000 bail. Where did he get that money? God knows. Only God knows. You know, so call us in. Tell us what you think. 515-605-9802. We'd love to hear from everybody on this beautiful Mother's Day. Yeah. What's your thoughts, Lori?
Well, the thing, you know, the thing is, you're right, the $500,000. I don't think he had to pay $500,000, but even if it was, you know, $200,000 or $250,000, that's still a quarter of $1 million, you know. I'd like to know where he got that kind of money. That's a lot of money, and it's silly. So he has a 13-count indictment, 7 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of money laundering, 2 counts of making materially false statements to the House of Representatives, 1 count of theft of public funds. And if he's convicted, 20 years in prison for the most serious charges. And of course, when he spoke to reporters outside, he said, it's his right to prove my innocence. And he will not step down. And I will prove my innocence. I will prove myself innocent. And then we'll move from there. Re-election is a very far time away, he said, adding, I will not resign. And he also accused the Justice Department of mounting a witch hunt against him. Boy, those words sound really familiar, don't they?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You know, it cracks me up, you know, taken from the, you know, the biggest fraud and con of them all. And George Santos is not far behind him with those charges. And I hope that he is found, I hope they do, you know, the investigation. I hope, you know, whatever he's charged with, you know, he suffers and he goes to prison for it if that's what he's found guilty of. That's the way it is in America, you know. Do the crime.
And, you know, everybody is held to a higher standard than the former president of the United States and the current congressman, you know, so can this kind of be consideration that, you know,
and, you know,
people like them are above the law.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, David, I honestly, he should have been made to resign, you know, with all those charges. Those are serious charges, you know, money laundering and all that. It's serious charges. He should have been made to resign. Of course, they will not do that. And, you know, his party will not do that because they need his vote to, you know, to keep business going.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And in that clip that I played, Speaker McCarthy said that Bob Menendez, who's a current U.S. Senator from New Jersey, suffered the same fate, meaning he went on trial. He got exonerated, and he was still allowed to vote and sit on committees and everything. And McCarthy claims that he didn't appoint Santos to any committee. So, you know, he's on committees and everything, at least 2 committees. If you're speaking of House and you weren't responsible for putting him on committees, who were? You know, what does that say about your brinksmanship as committee, as Speaker of the House?
He has no power. McCarthy is just on. He, you know, we've said this many times, he made deals with the devil, And now he, you know, it's time to pay up, and that's what he has to do. Mm-hmm. It's very evident. As we go through tonight, we'll see that.
Exactly.
Hey, let's talk a little bit.
Okay, so
let's talk a little bit. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I was just going to say, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the CNN-Trump rally. You know, they called it a town hall. But in my eyes, that was no town hall. I watched a little bit of it, and then I've seen clips. Shame on CNN. CNN is now dead to me, as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, just a couple days before that, and we'll talk about the trial as well, and where he was found, you know, he was charged with some, he was charged with, you know, not rape, but sexual.
Assaulting.
Yeah, sexual assault. And they basically ignored that. I find that horrendous and appalling of CNN. So what do you think about it?
Well, hey, CNN just trying to go rightward and follow Fox News and trying to grab some of their supporters and everything, you know, and it's silly really because Fox News is in a class by itself. It's not news, it's entertainment, and the poor things out of the air and make things up on air, which proves one to be untrue and non-factual. So CNN is going in that direction. And I want to play five notable moments from Trump at a CNN town hall, Nazi rally.
Tonight, CNN gave former President Donald Trump a live town hall forum, and he once again claimed the election was rigged and defended the throngs of Trump supporters who attacked the Capitol a few weeks later. The former president also claimed this week's verdict that found him liable for sexual abuse was rigged. He also called the overturning of Roe v. Wade a great victory.
He said a lot of things tonight. KTLA Samantha Cortese live in the news center with a closer look tonight. Sam.
Sarah and Micah, tonight for more than an hour, former president and again candidate Trump spoke about key issues surrounding his campaign and personal life, refusing to back down on some controversial topics. Here are just a few of the key points from a very fiery town hall. In his first appearance on CNN since the 2016 election, former President Trump answered questions from CNN journalist Caitlin Collins in a New Hampshire town hall. Right off the top, Collins asked if he admits to losing the 2020 election.
Unless you're a very stupid person, you see what happens.
The former president did not concede defeat.
That was a rigged election. And it's a shame that we had to go through it. It's very bad for our country. All over the world, they looked at it.
He also said he would accept the 2024 election results if it's, quote, an honest election. On foreign affairs, Trump was asked who he wants to win the war between Russia and Ukraine.
I want everybody to stop dying. They're dying. Russians and Ukrainians. I want them to stop dying. And I'll have that done. I'll have that done in 24 hours. I'll have it done.
Trump said Europe should be footing more of the bill, and it takes a strong president to get that to happen. He also said the war would have never happened had he won in 2020. Regarding abortion,
a very complex issue for the country. You have people on both sides of an issue, but we are now in a very strong position. Pro-life people are in a strong position to make a deal that's going to be good and going to be satisfactory for them.
He did not say whether he would sign a federal abortion ban, but called pro-choice advocates extremists and said overturning Roe v. Wade was a great victory. On the economy, Trump took a question from the audience.
What is the first thing you would do to help bring down the cost to make things more affordable?
Drill, baby, drill. We're energy independent, soon to be energy dominant. This place was rocking, and then we were given a gift from China.
Another mention of China when President Trump was asked about classified documents and the raid on his estate at Mar-a-Lago.
You have the Presidential Records Act. I was there, and I took what I took, and it gets declassified. Biden, on the other hand, he has 1,850 boxes. He had boxes sent to Chinatown.
Collins pushed back on this issue. It led to this now trending moment.
Can I talk?
Yeah, what's your answer?
Can I do mine?
I would like you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple, because you're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
President Biden reacted to the town hall tonight, saying, it's simple, folks. Do you want four more years of that? In the news center, Samantha Cortese, Sharon Micah, back to you. Sam, thank you.
Yes, so that was total disgrace by CNN for even giving them airtime. I guess CNN hasn't learned anything from 2016 and 2020. You know, they claim that they put him on air to say, to show America, you know, who he is and what he's about and everything. But as far as I'm concerned, it's just more free time. Is this giving him, you know... Go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead. I was just interjecting.
No, I made my point already.
Okay. So what I was going to say is he lied the whole time, basically. He did not, you know, even with the aging Carol, you know, he said that he did not know her. He has no idea who she is. I mean, honestly and truly, how can you stand there and say that? We all know that he knew. I mean, this man lives in a fantasy world. He's crazy. And this is what CNN did. I don't understand why CNN, who used to be, in my eyes, a fair and balanced, you know, station, internet, you know, broadcast, and I don't understand what's happened to CNN, except they have a new owner, of course, and I'm sure he must be a, you know, conservative Republican Trumper. I don't know what else to think. And if I were in Don Lemon, you know, is probably happy not to be there now. That's my thought. You know, it's just sad. And the audience is what got me as well, because that was not a balanced audience. That audience was a Trump audience. That's all they were.
Mm-hmm.
And when he talked about Jean Carroll and, you know, the sexual assault and made a joke about it, some of the men laughed. They laughed.
Well, all of them, most of them laughed, you know. Not some of them, all of them laughed. They thought it was funny, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of CNN being owned by right-wingers, yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Twitter is owned by a Republican. Fox News is owned by a Republican. CNN, owned by a Republican. OANN, owned by a Republican. Parler is owned by a Republican. Newsmax, owned by a Republican. Daily Wire, owned by a Republican. Daily Wire is the one that Tucker Carlson started before he went to Fox News. You know, so... this liberal media myth, you know, is all bullshit. There are five families who own 90% of the mainstream media, including newspapers. So enough of this liberal media bullshit, please, right-wingers. You know, America, wake up. You know, there's no liberal media. There never was, there never will be, you know.
No.
And
you're right.
According to Immanuel Kant, the historian and writer, this is what he said. You know, and I quote, if the truth shall kill them, let them die. That's Immanuel Kant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a well-known historian back in the 1700s. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's all silliness, you know, about this liberal media bias. You know, as I said, I just pull things out of the air and make things up and spin it to make right-wingers look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, you know, it makes my skin crawl just thinking about it. It truly makes my skin crawl. Then there's also Chris Christie, which I'm not a fan of Chris Christie. You know, I really am not. But at least, you know, he's saying that, you know, what the network did was wrong, you know, and for cutting a deal with President Trump to agree turned out to be a Russia's town hall went to the tank to get the GOP front runner on board. And that is what, you know, he said. And I agree with him. I don't know. Is he going to run for president, I'm sure?
I have no idea. I really don't care about the Republican side. You know, if he runs, he runs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care either. I'm just, you know, projecting. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering. You know, because they say things and they mean nothing. You know, it's just BS in my I remember Chris Christie back in the day, you know, when he closed that what was that he did? He closed was it a beach?
The bridge.
Mm-hmm. The bridge,
yeah.
He closed the bridge. And that was disgusting. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, you know, he thinks people forget.
For Chris Christie to run for anything, whether figuratively or physically, he can't, you know, because he's fat, you know, so he can't run. Mm-hmm. You
know? No, this is true.
Yeah, that was a joke that went over everybody's head, but never mind.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Trump can't run, so to speak, either, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes, ma'am.
You know. Not too funny.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and so evangelical leaders across the country, they're saying that congregants of their church are either divided or tense over Trump controversies. So if you're a Christian and everything, just put Jesus in the shoes of Trump. Would Jesus do any of those things? You know, the answer is no. So why are church people, Christians, so-called Christians, still supporting Trump? You know, that's not Christian-like, you know?
No.
I'm just a heathen.
You know, I have gotten to the point where when someone tells me I'm a Christian or I'm a Catholic or I'm, you know, a Protestant or it just turns me right off anymore because really matter. As long as you have whatever faith you have, it doesn't matter what it is. And you're a good person. You're helping, doing the right things. You're kind to people. You do things to help people or just talk to somebody if they're having a problem or however it is. But, you know, to say you're a Christian, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just say the word and do not, walk in the faith and do, you know, what Jesus would do, you know, to help someone that's down and out, you know, that sort of thing, then you're a fake Christian. I'm sorry. You know, I want to just say tell this one story of something that I heard. Someone told me this story yesterday, and I'm so flabbergasted by it. There was a home that came up for sale, and it was a three-bedroom ranch, finished basement, nice area. And this other retired couple, you know, were thinking about buying a home. So this person called them up and told them about the house. Well, the person that that might be interested in buying the home asked about the neighborhood and asked, can you check out to see who the neighbors are? And the person on the other line said, what do you mean what the neighbors are? What are you saying? Well, she went on to say, well, you know, if they look like you and I. 2023. Get what I'm saying? This is what's happening in this country. And the point that I'm trying to make is that they are devout Catholics. They go to church every single Sunday. Okay? And watch, and they watch Mass on TV every single day. But they wonder who's living in this neighborhood before they even go look at the house and who the neighbor might be, if you follow my train of thought.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, in Texas recently, let me give a backstory of this. A woman went into a gun shop to have a gun range, signed up relevant liability papers, the documents, so she could test out these guns. So that's the backstory I'm going to give you. I want the listeners to hear what transpired, recently. And here it is. I'm queuing it up and everything. Think Tech Forever. Here it is.
Last Friday, at a gun range in Texas, a woman came in to purchase a handgun, and they have a gun range at their shop. And she tried out some handguns, and they also had an MP5 9mm machine gun at the store. Shoots 900 rounds a minute. She's like, I want to try that one too. And the store was busy. The guy set her up, fully loaded machine gun. She walked out to the range and walked out the back door and got into her truck and left. She had filled out liability paperwork beforehand so that she could try out the handguns on the gun range. Turns out all of that information was fake. So now there's a fully loaded machine gun loose in Texas.
So imagine that, you know, 900 rounds per minute, a machine gun. Wow. In Texas. So, you know, we can expect another mass shooting in Texas because a crazy woman is out there with a machine gun that fires 900 rounds per minute. I can imagine the devastation that would cause.
900, just think about that. That's crazy. Why would they even have something like that in their store? Why?
Well, because people love guns. Second Amendment, remember?
Yeah, but I know. I get it. But why, if you're a responsible store owner of a gun shop and why would you even have something like that for sale in your store? I mean,
because it's legal, Lori. It's legal because of the Second Amendment, which they refuse to amend, which refuse to sign or put back into law what Bill Clinton had back in 1996.
Yeah, I was just playing devil's advocate. You know, it's like I'm saying, you know, if you're a responsible gun owner of, you know, you own a gun store and, you know, you're responsible and you care about people and you know, I understand it could be a sport as well. I get all that. But why in God's name would you have a machine gun that shoots 900 rounds a minute in your store? It's just not logical to me. And I understand your point about the Second Amendment. I get it. But now look what happened. She's on the loose. You know?
Yeah, fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Yeah. So who's worse with their irresponsible rhetoric, Barry Goldwater or Donald Trump?
I would say Donald Trump. But
yeah, well, you know, it was Barry Goldwater in 1964 who he was a nominee against Lyndon Johnson for the presidency.
Yeah.
And that's when the lunacy really broke out and everything. You know, so we're going to play this 1964 commercial by Lyndon Johnson. And it was by a Republican voter. And listen to this. This is so true. Back in 1964, and it's true today. We can just switch Goldwater's name for Trump. That's how dangerous he is. And to me, to answer my own question, I think Trump is much worse because people really act on their lunacy and get violent and everything. People even died on Capitol Hill. So here's an advertisement from 1964. and let's picture it in today's context.
I don't know just why they wanted to call this a confession. I certainly don't feel guilty about being a Republican. I've always been a Republican. My father is, his father was. The whole family is a Republican family. I voted for Dwight Eisenhower the first time I ever voted. I voted for Nixon the last time. But when we come to Senator Goldwater, now it seems to me we're up against a very different kind of a man. This man scares me. Now, maybe I'm wrong. A friend of mine has said to me, listen, just because a man sounds a little irresponsible during a campaign doesn't mean he's going to act irresponsibly. You know that theory that the White House makes the man. I don't buy that. You know what I think makes a president? I mean, aside from his judgment, his experience, are the men behind him, his advisors, the cabinet. And so many men with strange ideas are working for Goldwater. You hear a lot about what these guys are against. They seem to be against just about everything. But what are they for? The hardest thing to me about this whole campaign is to sort out one Goldwater statement from another. A reporter will go to Senator Goldwater and he'll say, Senator, on such and such a day, you said, and I quote, blah, 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 whatever it is, end quote. And then Goldwater says, well, I wouldn't put it that way. I can't follow that. Was he serious when he did put it that way? Is he serious when he says he wouldn't put it that way? I just don't get it. President ought to mean what he says. President Johnson, now, Johnson at least is talking about facts. He says, look, we got the tax cut bill, and because of that you get to carry home X number of dollars more every payday. We got the nuclear test ban, and because of that there's X percent less radioactivity in the food. But Goldwater, well, often you can't, I can't figure out just what Goldwater means by the things he says. I read now where he says, a craven fear of death is sweeping across America. What is that supposed to mean? If he means that people don't want to fight a nuclear war, he's right. I don't. When I read some of these things that Goldwater says about total victory, I get a little worried, you know? I wish I was as sure that Goldwater is against war as I am that he's against some of these other things. I wish I could believe that he has the imagination to be able to just shut his eyes and picture what this country would look like after a nuclear war. Sometimes I wish I'd been at that convention in San Francisco. I mean, I wish I'd been a delegate. I really do, because I would have fought, you know? And I wouldn't have worried so much about party unity, because if you unite behind a man you don't believe in, it's a lie. I tell you, those people who got control of that convention, who are they? I mean, when the head of the Ku Klux Klan, when all these weird groups come out in favor of the candidate of my party, either they're not Republicans or I'm not. I thought about just not voting in this election, just staying home, but you can't do that because that's saying you don't care who wins, and I do care. I think my party made a bad mistake in San Francisco, and I'm going to have to vote against that mistake on the 3rd of November.
Vote for President Johnson on November 3rd. The stakes are too high for you to stay home.
And let our republicanism, so focused and so dedicated, not be made fuzzy and futile by unthinking and stupid labels. I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
So you heard Barry Goldwater there. Extremism in defense of liberty is no vice.
Mm-hmm.
That's how extreme the Republican Party were back in 1964.
Yeah.
And now with this MAGA, QAnon crap that's going on now, it's even more extreme. I don't know what to say really, because you have QAnon, you have the different conspiracy theorists, some of them on Fox News. They're all in the palms of Russia, doing Russia's bidding. And as Joe Biden said recently, you want 4 more years of, you know, crazy, basically, or do you want stability, peacefulness, togetherness? That's what Joe Biden is trying to achieve in his presidency, along with other things like, you know, the things that are out there that's really, you know, hurting America, like corporations not paying their taxes, they should pay the fair share and everything. You know, wanting to do something about immigration, wanting to, you know, give people a better way of life to pursue the American dream, protecting the middle class, cutting the taxes of the middle class instead of the rich 1% people who don't pay the taxes to begin with. You know, things like that Joe Biden is about. So if you want 4 more years of crazy, then, you know, vote Republican, because it's obvious,
you know,
it's clear that they don't care about the Constitution. You see it with George Santos, and you see it with Donald Trump, where they want to have a dictatorship and not defend democracy.
You know, the thing is, too, David, is that every single day there is someone talking about, you know, I'm talking about a representative or someone that goes on live on Instagram or on Facebook. Everyone is afraid, not everyone, but these people are afraid of fascism. They are saying that fascism can be around the corner for this country. And and that within itself should really make people think. But I don't think that most people even understand what fascism is and what it can do and how it can cripple. You know, if you want freedom, you don't want to be a Republican right now. Absolutely not. You know, they want to take away women's rights. I mean, there's everything is on the table right now. Everything. And they talk about freedom. They're taking away freedom, and people don't understand that. And they're taking it away inch by inch, and they don't feel it yet. You know, that's the thing. They don't feel it yet. And then there's those of us that see it coming, and we can't express it enough times to make them listen. So what do you do about people like that?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we can do anything about people like that. All we have to do is just show up and vote and make sure we tell five people, and those five people tell five people, and, you know, like make a plan to vote, basically. And the last show that we spoke about, we're saying maybe we should have Election Day be a national holiday. So, you know, there'll be no excuse for people not to vote, because a national holiday, stay home. Some states, except for the red ones, have same day registration where you can vote and everything. You know, so if that happens, then, you know, that'd be a good thing for America, because in Australia, for example, there's a law which state that every election day is a holiday. And those who didn't vote or refused to vote, they get a fine. I don't remember how much a fine was, but, you know, that would that kick people in the pants and saying, here, what, this is a democracy. It's your civil duty to vote. You know, even if you want to put Mickey Mouse in a ballot, you voted. That's the whole thing about it. It's defending democracy.
Yeah.
And a lot of Americans just refuse, some Americans, I should say, refuse to, you know, do their civil duty. You know, we're speaking about Down the Rabbit Hole We Go, Season 5, Episode 1. Yes. Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
I was just going to say, I'm hoping that people understand the urgency of the next election. Because if you don't understand what's at stake, then you're not paying attention. You know, they're anti-union as well. There are so many things that they would cut, you know, from Medicare, Social Security, you know, Medicaid, you know, children's lunches. They don't even want kids to have free lunches in school or if it's in school. You know, they want to ban books. They want to erase history. How is that freedom? How is that freedom? It's not freedom. It's dictatorship.
Yeah,
it's fascism. It's telling you what you can read, what you can't read. I mean, really?
Yeah, and that's just did that basically. But we'll have a caller on the line. I think this is Eric from Michigan. And we're talking about, and down the rabbit hole we go, talking about GOP conspiracies and the latest happening in the news and everything. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? You're on air. Hello.
Well, it was Sue, not Eric, but that's okay.
Oh, Sue. Hello, Susie. Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, good, good. Happy Mother's Day, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. We are going down the rabbit hole. Scares the crap out of me. We're turning into fascists because the corporates and the powers that be want to take all the control away from the populace and they'll stop at nothing. And the internet is screwing it up big time because the Russians and the Chinese are feeding that. They want disruption in our country. And people are stupid enough to believe, you know, this idiot, this orange monster, he's just a puppet, you know. They're using him as an excuse to get him in office so they can overturn democracy and make it a dictatorship. That's what they want. They want full control. They want the corporations want to take everything away from the people. You know, they don't pay their fair share. Yeah, like the budget. What is the budget that the Republicans have? They don't have a budget. They don't have anything to put on the plate. And then they're threatening to do not raise the debt limit that the Orange Monster raised three times without a squeak out of them. It doesn't make, you know, doesn't make any sense. Their whole thing is to have control and take the power away from the people. Turn us back to the 1920s when they had child labor, which they do now again. It's just ridiculous. No unions, remember? They did union busting. In the 20s, they had no unions, and there was the people were dying on the job and making no money. People were poor. They didn't control the railroads, and they didn't have the EPA. I mean, we still have all those factories are polluting our water, our earth, and nothing's happening to them. And then they said, oh, drill, baby, drill. Well, they have so many oil leases that they never even use. They don't want to drill. They want to keep the prices of oil high. They don't have to do nothing. Just leave it where it's at, you know? It's still high. Why is the oil gas still high? We're not having problems with transportation anymore, are we? Why?
Nope.
No.
Because they can.
It's just
corporate greed.
Oh, it is. It is. And they bought and paid for our Congress. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. They're letting them get away with it because they are bought. It just pisses me off. You know, what's his face from Virginia with the coal and oil? Yeah, him and his kids have so much stake in the oil and coal industry, so he votes against all regulations.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a racket. They're a bunch of gangsters is what it amounts to.
Yeah,
exactly. So, Susan, what do you think about, you know, conspiracy theorists in general, like QAnon and whichever conspiracy groups out there, you know, don't want to push this idea that, oh, you know, Barack Obama is running things from behind the scenes. It's not really Joe Biden who's president, but some actor wearing a mask. Mm. I mean, I could find the video and play it for the people to hear. This is what QAnon and other groups that believe in conspiracy theories, you know, putting out there. And with the internet, as you say, the internet probably do more damage than good because people believe anything and fall for everything. You know, what's your take on QAnon and groups like that?
Me? They're the fascist background. They're the backbone right now. With the help of the Republican Party, they are building this, and they have, like I said, the internet, and they're fed by the Russians and the Chinese that want to, you know, disrupt our country and turn it back to the 1920s so they can have power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spreading. You know, they have it in Italy. They have it in other places. You know, Mussolini's daughter is far right. I mean, far right is coming out everywhere, just like it did before the war, before World War II. You know, that my parents lived in and fought in and stuff, and, you know, your grandparents and everything. It's scary. It is really scary. And the trouble is our younger generation doesn't understand because they didn't live through it. And they think everything, you know, reminds me of my grandma. She'd watch the FBI and thought it was all real stuff that was really happening because, you know, she... They had the little teeny TV boxes back then, and they believed what they saw on TV. And people now believe what they see on the internet, and it's all bullshit. And it's corroding our kids and the people. You know, kids are depressed, they're isolated, they bully because they can. And they're using it as a weapon. They learned as kids to use the internet to pick on other kids. As, oh, go kill yourself. You're useless. They're learning that. And their parents aren't, you know, stopping it. I mean, we've got to do something about that. But you can see all this corrosion and this evil happening all around us. And it scares the crap out of me. We've got to, you know, the Democrats got to get out and really get in people's faces and say, listen, shake them. You got to listen to what's right. Don't listen to the bullshit, you know, and tell them, look what Biden's doing. What is the Republican doing? Nothing besides trying to ruin our country.
Yeah. Well, hold on one sec. Stay on the line. We'll have another call. The same from Akron, Ohio. Hello, Ohio. Welcome to the show. What's cooking? Happy Mother's Day. Hello, Ohio. Are you there? Well, I guess the person is shy and just rather listen. So, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry to cut you off there. I was trying to patch the other person through.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Susie is absolutely right. We need our representatives, and some of them have, you know, but we need to say the country's on fire, basically. But the problem we have is that the Republican Party is good at their messaging, and I've said this 1,000 times over, they're good at it. You know, inflation, they blame President Biden for inflation. And we all know that he has nothing to do with inflation. He does not regulate prices. He cannot tell Kellogg's not to sell their cereal for $6 a box. And do people understand that logic?
No.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, everyone will say, oh, Biden's enough. Yeah, he has done everything inflated because it's not his fault. Do you think as a president and wanting to run another term that he likes having things inflated to make him look bad? No. If he could lower all the prices, he probably would. He did do something with the gas. If you guys remember, it was almost $5, $4, almost $5. And now here it's like $3.39. But they won't go any lower than that. They have to make their billions.
Yeah, their record profits, you know. Why? And people aren't saying anything about that and yelling at the oil companies because they're the ones that set the prices and OPEC, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And they're just rolling in the dough.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Well, these corporations are making billions of dollars because they're greedy. They're not paying taxes. People are paying the price. And who are they blaming?
One. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say your first name and where you're calling from. And turn off all TVs and any background noise that will distract us as a host and other listeners. Hello, Ohio. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight? Ohio, Carla, are you there? Yeah, I'd rather not say anything. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
Yeah, so back to this conspiracy theory thing, though. Do you know that people actually believe that there are lizard people running our government? How crazy does that sound? You know, filled up by Freemasons, skull and bones.
That's a scary thing. I watched a video the other day of this young man being interviewed, and he truly believes that John F. Kennedy is coming back, Robert Kennedy. I don't understand where these people get these theories. They think that Biden is not Biden. They think that he's a puppet. I mean, I listened to it for like 10 minutes, and I was like, oh, my God. This, and he was very serious. I just, you know, January 6th did not happen. That was all actors and Antifa. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And these people believe this stuff. He believed what he was saying. That is the most frightening part about the whole
thing.
They're
brainwashed. They're brainwashed from having their face in a screen all the time. They don't check their sources. They don't go and look at encyclopedias or something. Jesus Christ, that stuff is in there, you know. The date that Kennedy died, he's not coming back. Kennedy Jr. crashed his plane. He's gone. He's not coming back. You know, look it up.
That's what we need mental.
One, they're lazy, and two, they're stupid because they believe what they see on the screen. They don't check two, three sources. Don't look at, you know, like Fox News, because that's nothing but lies. That is not news. That's, like you said, entertainment of the weird kind.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, they go to school, you think they do, and learn to research and look up things. And didn't they do history papers and stuff like that? But now you got Florida not even allowing half the history to be taught in schools. So we're
going to
raise a bunch of morons.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Speaking of schools and public schools, I want to bring about prayers in public schools. You know, what's your take on that, Lori and Susie?
In this day and age, you can't do that because we have so many different, we have Muslims, Catholics, you have your Christian. You have, you know, there are so many different religions, and there are people that don't believe in prayer. Bottom line, they don't go to church. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in prayer. And you can't shove something like that down people's throats. You just can't do it.
Our country was founded on separation of church and state.
Yeah.
The reason they came here from England was to get away from the church. So they have civic laws, and then you can do your own thing on the church part, but the two do not mix. And now they're trying to change all that.
Yes. You know, the Mississippi governor, Phil Bryant, just signed into law that allows students in Mississippi schools to pray at school events, over school intercoms, and before school athletic contests. All prayers issued by students must be accompanied by a disclaimer stating the prayer is not endorsed by the school district. Governor Bryant explains that the purpose of the new law is to protect religious freedom in public schools in his state, not to establish or sanction religion in school.
That's bullshit. Excuse
it
me. I taught at a Catholic school, high school. They didn't pray before the football games. They didn't pray before the basketball games. They didn't even pray in class. They went to mass once a week, you know. That was about it. Yep. They didn't do that, and this was a Catholic school. So why is that being done in the public school? Separation of church and state. Trouble is, we got a Supreme Court that is far right, and they want to change everything. That's got to stop. I hope the rules and the you know that they're trying to do changes, because that you know it's nuts. It's from the top down now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the governor of Mississippi went on to say that. Tipton added that he believes there are barriers to expressing religious faith in schools, saying, yes, there are barriers there that a person or child is afraid to speak anything related to God or Jesus because of lawsuits or things like that. So I think this legislation will be a positive thing for the state of Mississippi. Really? And then we have the former, governor of Arkansas, who is also a minister, by the way. And the minister probably doesn't pay any taxes anyway, so let's see. He agrees that prayer belongs in schools. We ask why there is violence in our schools, he said, but we have systematically removed God from our schools. Huckabee was quoted in the New York Times as saying shortly after the Newton school shooting, left 20 students and 6 adults dead at the school. Should we be surprised that the schools become places of carnage? The law is not the first of its kind in the United States. Last year, Missouri and South Carolina introduced legislation that would allow for a moment of silence at the beginning of the school day that, if they choose, and Virginia also has a similar. So, yeah, slowly but surely, that's what's going to happen. You know, I mean, I was raised Catholic. I think that if you want to, you know, pray in school, you can say your prayer at your desk or whatever when you're walking to your locker. If you want to say something in the morning to yourself, you can do that. There's no one stopping you from doing that. We don't
You know, before lunch, if you want to say, you know, grace. Yeah,
we don't have
it's got nothing to do with school. That's a personal thing. Separation of church and state.
Yeah, we don't need legislation for this. That's not what our tax money goes for. And also,
speaking about tax money, they had a thing on the news today about the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
They're worth $100 billion. And they have, and they have off-the-book companies for profits that they hide and don't pay taxes on, and they're in deep doo-doo right now. They have, there's a bill, they're supposed to pay $150 million, which is from the Security and Exchange Commission, because they violated, you know, rules. But, yeah, $100 billion. They expect 10% of all their members' money, and then they do all these – they built a mall, and they do these other things, and that's all on the side, off the books, on shell corporations. So what is this, the mafia?
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Christian my butt, right?
Oh,
right,
that's what
I'm
saying. You know,
Well,
go ahead, David.
Yeah, before we go into our next thing on the agenda on the show tonight, Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy is calling to ban 18 to 25-year-olds from voting or force Generation Z voters to undergo a government-mandatory test to have their voting rights restored. The test would not apply to other generations. No, they're so afraid of Generation Z and millennials that they want to suppress their vote. They're trying to suppress other people's vote, you know, by taking away precincts and the gerrymandering districts and everything. No, this is their latest move or tactic. You know, it's dreadful. The Republican Party not running on ideas, but they're trying to suppress votes. I find it repulsive, sickening, degrading, disrespectful to democracy, and they're going to have a huge price to pay come 2024. I can't wait for 2024 to happen.
Yeah, and you know, they will not. They will fail at that because I am telling you, Gen Z, the millennials, they are basically wanting the Republican Party to die because they are for everything. The Republican Party is for everything they are not for. Absolutely true. So
that's why the Republicans are doing that with the voting and the gerrymandering stuff. Thank God in Michigan they got a non-biased group to redraw districts because it was happening here. And now we have a really level playing field. And, you know, we got a lot of things passed that would needed to be passed. But it's happening all over. And it's just, you know, ridiculous. And that's what they're going for, sneaking on school boards, health boards, on the local level first and then moving it. They're like snakes sneaking into all these different areas of our government. And Democrats were asleep at the wheel, I'm telling you.
Well, there are things that are going on in the lower level that that are silently happening. And I'm aware of two things like in the township where I live. So there are things going on. But if you brag about it, then, you know, these other groups, you know, make it harder. So they're kind of silent about it, but things will get done. They will get done. Absolutely will get done. I feel that right now we're fighting good against evil is what we're doing. We're in a, it's sort of a war, good against evil. And, you know, good has to win. I mean, it just does for this country to survive.
Well, look at Florida. I mean, he took over the school boards. They're voting, you know, taking care, you know, ruining that. And then Disney, and then, you know, he's changing. He's going after every little thing. He puts his own people in, and he's acting like a dictator. I mean, he's major evil. Trump is stupid, but this guy's too evilly smart.
Oh, yeah. He is definitely a scary person. He is somebody that's very uninterested because I feel that he knows how to get around things. Where Trump, like you said, is just a projector and he has other people do his dirty work. This guy knows how to do his own dirty work. He really does. And that's the scary part.
Yeah, like he replaced the whole school board. I mean, the main state school board. And he went into each district and changed that. So the parents have no say. The kids aren't learning, you know, heaven forbid, if you say there was slavery, oh, my God, you know. They're erasing history out of the books. In Florida, they rejected a whole bunch of textbooks and then had the companies rewrite certain sections to their benefit just so they could sell the books.
And I have a DeSantis clip here. I have a Ron DeSantis clip here that I want everybody to listen to. He's gone insane for the past couple of days. He may announce his candidacy for the presidency. And also Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire. He's a Republican. He's moderate.
yeah, well, I wouldn't say moderate, but conservative, a real conservative. That's who a true conservative is. So this is like a clip from someone in Florida speaking about Ron DeSantis and his madness. He's ascended into madness.
Has gone on an insane rampage in the past couple of days, and we need to talk about it. First of all, he banned Chinese citizens from being able to buy property. But this isn't just exclusive to Chinese citizens. You are Iranian, Russian, Cuban, Syrian, North Korean, or Venezuelan. You also will face restrictions trying to buy property as well, because he wants to stop the Chinese communist influence on Florida. Sounds legit. He also just signed the worst anti-immigration bill that has been signed to this date by any state. Bans local governments from issuing identifications to undocumented immigrants. Requires hospitals that accept Medicaid to ask the person whether they're a citizen of the United States before they actually treat them. Banning undocumented law students from taking the Florida bar. Well, the list goes on and on and on, but I don't have time to go through all of it. Also ended automatic payments for the teachers union. The teachers in a union have to pay their dues with a written check every single month. It's obviously union busting at its finest, and now the teachers union is suing. Can't wait for his presidential run.
Yes, yeah, so what do y'all think about that?
Yeah.
He's setting up his ducks in a row and everything.
He's a Hitler wannabe.
Yeah, and not only that, you know, he's evil to the core, but he's not a likable person. You know, he was in Iowa. Trump was supposed to have a rally there as well. Trump canceled it because of the weather. He still went. It's not going to get anywhere. He's not liked outside of his state. He really isn't. And he doesn't understand that yet, you know. And the other thing that happened is Florida State Education Department has rejected two Holocaust education textbooks in its clampdown on woke instruction. This is what's happening in Florida. So if you want, you know, if you want fascism and you want democracy, you don't care about democracy, go live in Florida. Because that's where democracy goes to die, in Florida. And I don't know how to stand it. I just don't.
And you're right, nobody likes him, because they had somebody on, another politician, I said, he has no personality, he's really crude and rude to everybody, people can't work for him, he's really tough to deal with. He's just like, it's all about him, and get out of my way and do what I say, kind of attitude.
Right, right. So do you think George Orwell's 1984 book has become reality, or is it already reality?
Getting close.
Right on.
Scaring the hell out of me.
Right on. That's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about Sununu. Sununu. You know who that is, right?
He's
the governor.
Yeah.
Yeah, governor of New Hampshire, Republican.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, David, he is conservative. I listened to an interview with him, and he skirted a few questions when asked about about abortion. He believes that the state should take that over. In, you know, not a national abortion, but in other words, he was skirting it because he did not say he was pro-choice or not. So he just said the states have to work it out. When he was asked, he definitely is, he protects the Second Amendment. He he also said about teachers having guns in schools, that if they want to have a gun and have the training, sure, he's all for it. Really? So the
then you wonder why you don't have teachers in school. Huh. Yes. I wouldn't go if I had to carry a gun. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I was not impressed with him. I really wasn't.
You weren't? Okay. Well, compared to all of us that are out there now as governors, I think Chris Sununu, How can I put this? Compared to the other nutcases on the right, you know, even though he is right as well as a conservative, you know, at least he could probably work with Chris Sununu, you know, hopefully somebody from New Hampshire call in to say, you know, what is he like as a governor, what have you, you know. But, you know, compared to Trump, compared to DeSantis, he seems sane. He seems logical at times.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And last month he was on Bill Maher. And he was toying with the idea of running for president and everything. This is a 3-minute clip. And, you know, we'll come back after the clip and, you know, speak about what he spoke on Bill Maher, real time with Bill Maher.
I'm going to wait to see what percentage of the potential candidates get indicted. And if it's over, if it's over 25%, well, we'll see.
And
we're halfway there, so you never know.
Honestly, I've never seen anybody who looks more like they're chomping at the bit to run. I don't know.
Look, I'm not chomping. I love my job. I love being governor. And my job right now is also, I want to remind people, the Republican Party has an awesome product, but, man, are we bad at messaging. We have the worst messengers and the worst message. But when we get to the core of what we're about is individual comes first, individual liberties, low taxes, no sales or income or interest and dividend tax, so you should all rethink your life choices.
It's
and
not the message. What you have...
A terrible message.
What you have is a loathsome person at the head of the party who people like you will not turn against.
Turned against Trump?
You go for him again, no matter who.
You call Donald Trump. You ask him how chummy we are.
He doesn't care if you're chummy. He has your endorsement for next time if he's the nominee.
He's not going to be the nominee. He's really not. You're not letting it play out. There's so much politics to be had here. And again, the problem is with what happened yesterday.
Governor, Chris Christie is also chomping at the bit to get in.
I love Chris. I don't think he's going to run, but I do love him.
He told me personally he's going to run.
Yeah. I love Chris, but I think he's making too much money.
He's taking a different lane than all the other guys. Not Pence, who looks like he's going to run. Nikki Haley's already announced.
I think he's going to run, yeah.
You obviously not. Christie's strategy is completely the opposite of yours. He says you got to go toe-to-toe and completely knock out Donald Trump. And so what do you think about that?
Look, if I chose to run, I would love to get on the debate stage. I mean, that would be my first...
With Donald Trump.
Yeah, because too many people think you debate Trump on policy.
Sununu, what kind of name is that?
Yes, sir.
So...
People think... That's exactly...
Sununu,
right.
Nothing.
Yeah. So people think you debate Trump on policy. You don't debate him on policy. You debate him at his level.
What Christie's saying you have to
do. Yeah, and he's absolutely right.
Do that too?
Oh, I would love it.
So
I would love it.
Okay.
But look, I'm not into I'm not going to jump in just to make the field too big. I'm not going to jump in if there's not a path.
Okay.
I think Republicans have lost a lot of independents. I think we've lost a lot of young voters. I'm trying to bring them back on the team. Because we are normal, because we do have a great product. We just don't have folks that know how to sell it.
Well, you did one smart thing in running for this presidency already. You came on this show.
Yeah, so that's Chris Sununu, governor of New Hampshire, Republican, and he was flirting with the idea of running for president of the United States. Do you think anybody on the Republican side, whether Chris Sununu, whether... Fat boy from New Jersey who was governor, Chris Christie, anybody can defeat our current president, Joe Biden?
No, I don't, because they don't have any, they have no plans. I haven't heard any plans. All I hear is negativity. And the people that we have in there right now are MAGA Republicans, so nothing will get done anyway. I just don't see anyone winning against Joe Biden right now.
Neither does the Orange Monster. He has no plan. He just bullshits all the time. There's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think?
Nothing in between the ears.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
Republicans finally admit
garbage, and people are believing it because they want control and power. And people are falling for it. They were talking about, and this scares me even more, AI on the next election, where they can do fake speeches and make Biden say things that will appall people or turn them off,
mm-hmm.
and then turn around mm-hmm. and have, you know, other senators on the Democratic side say things that they never said.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be hard
right.
to prove it because it's getting so good. You know, you've seen mm-hmm. it before, but now they're getting it better than ever, and you can't tell what's real and what's fake. And boy, are we going to be in trouble.
And the sad thing about that is not illegal to do. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No.
You know, it's not illegal for them to not do it.
How do you fight that? How do you fight that?
Mm-hmm.
As a candidate?
Yesterday, and they're not. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
That scares me more than anything else. That AI, artificial intelligence, that scares me more
mm-hmm.
than anything else. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right. the father of artificial intelligence who worked for Google, he resigned recently and going across the country touring saying that it is bad because AI may take over from humans and may destroy the human race. His words, not mine. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you have to take that with a
yeah.
grain of salt. He is
in
the profession for years. He knows what he's talking about, you know. Even Elon Musk said that AI, you know, if you use it in a poor way, it can turn against you, you know. So
mm-hmm.
that's a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
It creeps more a little bit, you know.
In this next election, there's going to be a lot of that going on. I really believe
mm-hmm.
it. It's going to be a shit show. I'm scared mm-hmm. to death.
Mhm.
Mhm.
No, I agree with you. We don't know what kind of, you know, ads are going to come out, and you know, it's going to be scary. And like I say,
mm-hmm.
unless you follow, you know, on a daily basis, you know, what's happening in this country, it'll be easy to fool.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be easy to fool. You know, it'll be very easy to
mm-hmm.
fool someone. It really will be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the
yes.
scary part right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Republicans
and
finally
wonder,
admit they
the
have
AI
more.
Coming from Russia and China, besides the far right, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and the people being on the internet all the time, they're on their phone forever or their screens,
yep.
they're far removed from reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In an alternate universe, as Kellyanne Conway said, Kellyanne Conjob, the blonde bimbo who used to work for Trump, you know, House
yep.
Oversight and Accountability Committee, the chairman is James Comer, he's a Republican, and they finally
mm-hmm.
admitted, the Republicans, that they have no incriminating evidence of Joe Biden. They've been investigating the Biden family, and the House GOP accused Joe Biden and his family this past Wednesday of engaging in business with foreign entities, but were unable to provide any actual evidence linking the president of any wrongdoing. And the chair, James Comer, released a 65-page memo detailing a sprawling investigation into Biden and some of his relatives, particularly his son, Hunter Biden. Nowhere in the massive document was there a specific allegation of crime committed by Biden or any of his relatives. So now the Republican go on this wild goose on this chase, and there's nothing to prove that use taxpayer dollars to investigate all these things. You know, his laptop.
Yep.
I'm so sick and tired about hearing about Hunter Biden's laptop. If there
yep.
was any incriminating evidence that came out in 2020, they're trying to manufacture this thing against Hunter Biden. I don't care
mm-hmm.
what Hunter Biden does in his private time. It doesn't affect the United States of America.
No,
you know, and
you
know, even all of this, people still vote Republican. I can't fathom the logic or thinking behind people who vote Republican, even with this nonsense going on.
It is the complete opposite of all the evidence they've got on the orange monster. That son of a bitch has got to go down and fast. I want to see it done. Because that's what they're doing. Oh, you know, he's all in court and stuff. But look at Biden. Look at his kid. There's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nothing burger.
No. Yep. And,
yeah.
they, and, like David,
and, you know, added to which.
You know,
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like you said, David, it's all made up and it's not true. And people believe garbage, you know. Mm-hmm. Do your homework, people.
Yeah, and the Kentucky Republican, the chair, Comer, his memo that's been making the rounds now accuses the Biden family of involvement in a scheme to peddle influence in Romania from 2015 to 2017, as well as financial dealings with individuals in China. Well, of course, Hunter Biden's name came up repeatedly, but the memo contains scant details of all these allegations, nor does it contain any evidence that any laws were broken or that the Biden family was involved in any of his son's business dealings with China. So Jamie Raskin, Democrat, he's a representative, congressman from Maryland. He's a ranking member of the Oversight Committee, slammed Comer for, quote, failed to provide actual evidence to support his wild accusations about the president. He continues to bombard the public with innuendos, misrepresentations, and outright lies, recycling baseless claims from stories that were debunked years ago, end quote. You know, so these Republicans, instead of trying to govern, you know, trying to, like, find more jobs for people, working with the president of the United States to build a better America in terms of infrastructure, mm-hmm. education, you know, mm-hmm. all those good things. Republicans doing these things, wasting taxpayer money investigating Hunter Biden and the Biden family, coming up with nothing, you know, so...
Yeah. We're, you know,
I want to see the bill for all this stuff and all the money they're spending. I want to see the actual numbers and say, look, we could build bridges. We could fix the frickin' railroad tracks and all that stuff, you know, instead of all this bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because debt limit vote coming up, and, you know, according to Kevin McCarthy, he submitted something to the White House, and he wants to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, public education. They want to get rid of the Department of Education. Biden's saying no, he's not having it. Democrats backing Biden. You know, so they should be concentrating on that, the debt ceiling limit. But no, they're going on these wild goose chases and, you know, going on with nonsense and everything. You know, and speaking of debt ceiling, you know, what's going on with that?
Yeah, it's great. Nothing yet. And it's scary, too, to, you know, to think about, because the country will come to a grinding halt.
Don't they realize that doing that, that the corporations and all the interest rate and banks and all that crap is going to hit the dust, I mean, go down in the toilet, and that affects them because they're a direct line of money from the corporations and the banks to them? You know, they're like cutting off their balls to prove a point.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it makes absolutely no whatsoever. I don't understand how people.
Especially when Trump did it three times. You know?
Mm-hmm.
With nobody saying boo. So what, you know, plus. He put us in higher debt than any other president.
Yep.
$7 trillion in his 4 years. $7 trillion. With all
more
presidents combined.
More than any other president ever in history, but they never said a word.
Exactly.
Nope.
They gave him a free check and everything. And that's why Joe Biden should use the 14th Amendment.
That's what the Democrats got out there in the public. People don't realize that. And they need to really scream at the rooftops about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have another call here. Let's take this call.
Mm-hmm.
This is Kitchen Politics 123. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight, Carla?
Eric Brantley here, everybody.
Oh,
hey,
Eric,
what's up, man?
Yep, glad to make it here again.
Good.
Yes, man.
What do you think about make a quick response? To what the other person was saying about, you know, this is what the Democrats should be screaming about. This is what the Democrats need to really put out there. You know, that's one of the things I've always said that, you know, one of my and I've been a lifelong Democrat and I'll continue to be. But one of my biggest problems with them is they, like I said, they're not always good with the marketing in the air. I mean, we have some very well speakers. I mean, you have your Barack, Michelle. I mean, we have Josh Shapiro and people like that. But, you know, that reminds me in the wake of the controversy about been letting the last president do his town hall on CNN. You know, this is the time right now for CNN, MSNBC, and a lot of the pro-democratic outlets and a lot of pro-democrat organizers and officials and to really sell the accomplishments of the Biden-Harris administration, which I've been shouting from the rooftops for a long time. And a lot of you already know that. And like I said, if people want a reason to continue to vote for the Democrats and really, you know, if people are saying that they're tired of hearing that we're just fighting against DeSantis and Trump and the Republicans, look, I got reasons for you. The American Rescue Plan Act, the COVID relief package, the $1.2 trillion infrastructure, the Inflation Reduction Act, the capping of insulin at $35 a month, the significant decrease in drone strikes and airstrikes, pulling out of Afghanistan, cutting the Department of Justice's contract with private prisons, giving $15 an hour to federal contractors and workers. I mean, there is a long list that goes on and on and on that people are unaware of, lowering the unemployment rate from 6% to about 3.5%. So, I mean, this is what Democrats, the top and the bottom, really need to be shouting about, and this is what they really have to sell. And if they're serious about getting more and more independent voters, that's the way to do it. We have to focus on the accomplishments.
You're right.
And you're right, Eric. And the thing is that, like, MSNBC, PBS, so they don't talk about his account. All we hear about is Trump and Santos and, you know, and to Satan, you know, all the negativity. We need positivity. We need to show and tell, just like you said, what is happening and what Joe Biden has done for this country. Because people don't understand it. They don't get it. I also think that this country is very spoiled. And I also think there's a lot of entitled people in this country that do not understand why we have it so good right now. There's no war. You know, the economy is doing well. You know, taxes are not that high. Of course, our inflation is a little bit up there, but they don't understand other things about that. They don't get that it's because we don't have a war. We haven't had a war for a long time. You know, we're safe. Basically safe in this country. They don't understand any of that. They don't pay attention to it. They just, you know, reap the benefits, but don't know how we got the benefits.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing about that. A number of other things that people are complaining about, yeah, some of it might be legitimate to a degree, but then there are other things that are being done in those areas, regardless of how highly or lowly significant they might be. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, a lot of them are complaining about the border crisis, for example. And yeah, there's a problem there and we need huge improvement. But another story that wasn't being talked about enough was the fact that the Biden-Harris administration actually reunited at least 500 children with their families, migrant children.
Yeah.
As far as the thing about people saying that there's not much done on health care. Well, under the last administration, we had about 9 million people that lost their insurance because the administration had attempted to shut down Obamacare. Well, guess what? Biden and them had got a lot of those 9 million people back on, plus an additional 16 million Americans who were insured on the Affordable Care Act. There's also a number of other things. I mean, he put a pause on the weapons deal that the United States was doing with Saudi Arabia to commit the genocide in Yemen. We temporarily pulled out of that, although I think that should be permanent. But on top of that, there's also been, you know, he cut the $1,400 stimulus checks, which came with the original, I think that was in the American Rescue Plan Act. That plan also invested $4 billion into historically black colleges and universities, and also a few tens of millions of dollars were invested into small businesses. A lot of that money also went towards the economic injury disaster loans, and the COVID relief package actually expanded that and also worked to invest money into the, I think it was the PPP loans industry, if I'm not mistaken on that. And let's see, about over 8 million Americans were helped with medical debt. There were the student debt thing, 10 to 20,000 was canceled per borrower for a lot of people. So, I mean, he's working on helping with debt in all forms that people aren't even realizing. It's not just student debt or medical debt. I mean, we're talking auto debt. We're talking mortgage debt. We're talking credit card debt. Those things need to be talked about more as well, and we need to continue to move steps there. They also attempted to do free community college, which I think Whitmer did 2 years for here in Michigan. So, I mean, these are the things that it is a step up. And for a lot of people I get, it may be considered bare minimum. To other people, it is considered a huge step up. It really depends on where you are. So this is what I said earlier. I said, you know what? I wish there was a way I could find to get on CNN or MSNBC to really talk about that stuff, because while they're giving this pointless airtime to Trump and those people, I said, we could talk about the things that Biden has been doing so that a lot of America doesn't get brainwashed into just thinking he's doing nothing, so they think he's just sitting at his desk with his feet kicked up smoking a cigar. I said, no, this man is doing some stuff, and so is Vice President Harris. I've been a supporter for Vice President Kamala Harris for a while. I think the main problem with her is that she's not as visible as she should be, but a lot of people have to realize a lot of decisions that are being made in there, I mean, she's part of those decisions as well. So this administration is a lot more successful than what people realize.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And like I said, you know, CNN right now, Eric, because of, you know, they did that Trump rally, a MAGA rally, as far as I'm concerned. That was not a town hall. CNN, for me, is done. You know, I feel that they cooked their goose by putting him and giving him airtime. I really do.
Well, you know what? Here's what I'll say about that. There's one thing I understand about the ideal of, okay, I understand that you're going to have your left-wing stations and your right-wing stations. And, yeah, each station, I mean, generally, yes, I get that you want both parties to speak. But at the same time, what a lot of people don't seem to realize or even remember is that that was part of the problem that we had in 2016. And unfortunately, a lot of us didn't realize it until it was too late. CNN and a lot of outlets, that they gave him too much power, in the sense that they gave him way too much free airtime, too much attention, and they were trying to make it say, like, okay, this guy's a moron, and he's a racist, and he's a sexist, which obviously he is, but unfortunately there were more and more people, especially independent voters and right-leaning centrists, who saw him, and they were buying into what he was saying, and I said, this is the mistake that we cannot make, and we really have to get our act together. We have to make sure that these candidates are really talking about their accomplishments and what they do. Tim Ryan had talked about this a couple of years back when he was on The View. So, this is the thing. We can't sit there and let this guy dictate the media and let him command all this attention, because the fact of the matter is he's already got his circle. He's got Fox News. He's got Newsmax. He's got Breitbart and OAN and Daily Wire and all these right-wing pundits and outlets. He's got all that. I said, we don't have to add to that until the debate season comes. So let's continue to sell the Biden-Harris accomplishments, and let's continue to move the country forward and improve the party as well.
But, Eric, who is left? MSNBC? PBS? And PBS is not, you know, right or left. They just report. They don't – so really, I mean, we have Midas Touch, you know, things like that, you know, the Young Turks. But who do we really have? That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'll tell you this. As far as the people that I follow that are left-wingers, and some of them may not all the way be pro-Democrat, but they are pro-progressive policy and improving forward. I mean, I listen to people like Kyle Kulinski, Crystal Ball, like you mentioned, the Young Turks. I still like them. You know, I try to follow Jon Stewart time to time. I know I haven't really followed PBS too much recently, so I don't know where they're at, but I do regularly watch the MSNBC, the CBS, the NBC. And I will tell you, like I said, I'm disappointed with what CNN did, and I'm not saying that they should be removed because of that. I think they lost a lot of credibility and a lot of attention because of that, a lot of viewership. I'll also say that there are people on CNN that I would still watch. I mean, like I said, I liked Don Lemon when he was there, and I liked Anderson Cooper. I liked Brooke Baldwin when she was there. So, I mean, you know, there's still people at the station I do respect. I don't know exactly who the CEO is right now, but, I mean, that's the point, is that, yeah, they have the right to run who they want to run, but we can't lose sight of what we're supposed to promote in terms of our candidates, in terms of our policies, and in terms of our ideologies and our agenda. So that's what we want to do. We can't let the right wing take over the narrative and just say, well, Biden is doing nothing and Trump will make it better. No, Biden has been making things better, and that we have to continue to stick with, and we continue to push it in that way.
You know, Eric, you know, I don't think in 2 weeks we'll have a settlement on the debt ceiling limit. I think the United States, the president should use the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment, Section 4 states, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for service in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned. I think Joe Biden should use the 14th Amendment to settle this debt ceiling limit thing, because Republicans obviously not way budge. They want their way or no way at all.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
He may be forced to use
You know what? The reason why I've kind of been in and out with this whole thing with the debt ceiling is because when we talk about the national debt, when we talk about the deficit, I mean, the fact of the matter is a lot of it, for the most part, it does go up and up under each president, regardless of the party. Last I checked, Bill Clinton was the last one that was able to balance the budget. Because what was it? The deficit was what? About $6 trillion when Clinton left office. When Bush left office, it had been around $10 to $12 trillion. Obama left office, it was like between 15 to 20. And then Trump left, it was like 22, 23. So, I mean, that's one thing. I think that's why people have kind of lost interest in that or lost sight in it, because it's like the government, for the most part, is going to do this wasteful spending. This is why we need to continue to push for policies and advocate for the policies that send money into the pockets of the middle class, the working class, the poor, the poverty. They're able to do stuff with that money, appropriately allocate the funds, and pay their taxes, get a job, pay their taxes, get their education, and get enrolled into these insurance programs like healthcare, so they can continue to work and pay their taxes and stimulate the economy. So, I mean, that's why we have to push that.
Well, what will happen, though, I believe that President Biden is forced to implement the 14th Amendment, that I believe Republicans will probably challenge it, maybe in court, and it'll just turn into another tobacco, another mess. But, at the end, we can't go over the cliff, so he may not have a choice. And McCarthy, shame on McCarthy, because the things that he's asking for are not realistic. They're nothing that the American people would want. And it's not even logical to the American people. It does not help the American people. It doesn't help our country. So, the President Biden is going to be, pushed into a corner, and he might have to, implement the 14th Amendment, saying that I already heard him say he does not want to do that because he knows what will happen. They will challenge him in court with it. They will.
Well, you know what? There was a video that I did a while back. And to those of you who are new to this and new to me, I mean, I do videos on YouTube regularly where I talk, politics and talk about candidates and things that people voted for and against. And I did do an entire video. And in a nutshell, I was basically talking about the case against Kevin McCarthy in the sense that, this guy is another one who is essentially worthless. He's bigoted in his own way, a little bit crooked, corrupt. He voted against the resolution to condemn racism against the Asian Americans during the COVID pandemic. He also stated that he suggested in a private recording with the GOP House leadership in 2016 that Putin pays Trump, and then later had said it was a joke gone wrong. He was saying later on that there was nothing that Trump did wrong in regard to him requesting that the Ukrainian president start an investigation into Biden in 2020. He still continues to push the lies that Biden cheated the election. He criticized Pelosi for defending Soleimani, which in reality Soleimani was a guy who was fighting against ISIS. So when we took him out, that made us look like a de facto ally to them. He voted against the January 6th commission. He was one of the – I'm pretty sure he was one of the leading voices in that. There was that. He's supported the what do you call it, when Trump reversed the DACA. I mean, he helped support that as well. He voted against allowing veterans access to medical marijuana, even if it was legal in their state and recommended by their Veterans Health Administration doctor. So, I mean, Kevin McCarthy, just like most of them, is another one where I can really pretty much struggle to find anything good that he's pushed for or anything that he either initiated, legislated, or voted for or even been in support of vocally. So I warned people, I said, if Kevin McCarthy becomes a speaker, if the Republicans take the House, which unfortunately they did, he would be the speaker, and then this is what we're going to get. And so it's going to be more of your John Boehner, Paul Ryan, Dennis Hastert type people. So, again, this is why it's essential that the Democrats win back the House to, you know, essentially lower his level of power.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, 2024, the election in 2024, in my eyes, is going to shape the country one way or another. Either the country is going to go forward and continue on its path that we're on right now, which is a good path, or it's going to sink and we're done. I don't see anything else happening. I mean, that's it. It's either do or die. That's the way I feel from what I've seen and what I've read and hear daily. It's do or die.
And this thing that Republican, you know, I agree with everything you just said, Laurie, but the thing is, with this Kevin McCarthy bill that Republicans pushing to raise a debt limit and all, it's going to impose work requirements for federal aid. They want to rescind IRS funding. They want to recoup unspent pandemic relief funds. You know, they want to unwind Biden's student loan forgiveness program, which will have millions of students and former students paying debt relief. Repeal provisions for Inflation Reduction Act. You know, they want to implement, you know, all these things that would hurt the middle class, probably totally wipe out the middle class, you know, not to mention working families in America. You know, so it's cool and unusual by Republicans what I want to do. When you compare it to the Biden plan is more, you know, plausible, more workable.
And the question is why? I mean, that is what I don't understand, is why are the Republicans, these MAGA Republicans, going down this path when they know in their hearts McCarthy has to know that everything he is proposing is dead, makes the Republican Party just dead in a sense that they're not going to exist. I mean,
I'll tell you what the cause of it was. And now we have to remember the cause and effect system. Now, again, I don't know if this is more of a cause or an effect. I sense it could be a cause because I think the effect is something bigger. We have to remember that Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump were the two leading voices on the Republican side in 2022, I believe, that when those midterms started, they said out of their own mouths that they wanted the Republicans, both pro-MAGA and anti-MAGA, to run a policy-free campaign. Because the only thing that the McConnell Republicans and the anti-Trump Republicans were really running on was basically, you know, it's just about here's how we're going to, you know, we need to pass more tax cuts. We need to do less spending on Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. We're going to cut that. The Trump Republicans, all they ran on was Biden cheated the election. The Democrats are communists, and we're going to need to impeach Biden. And so to me, this is what I say, and I have to be careful when I say it because a lot of people, it's difficult, but it's the truth. It's that. This is why I say voters need to be held accountable as well as politicians do, because when they tell you stuff like that and you still continue to vote for them and then you get bad things to happen, well, this probably would not have happened had you voted for their opponents. That's not to say every single Democrat is good, but it's to say when they're telling you up front that they're not going to run their campaign based on any policy, and at least you have most of the Democrats who are saying, hey, we're trying to better health care. We're trying to better education. We want to – some of us might want to give you another stimulus check. We want to better the roads, better the infrastructure, invest more money to the small businesses. They, at least they told you that. And so this is why it's so beyond essentially imperative that we continue to get more and more independent voters. We really have to target areas like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Georgia, Wisconsin, and I would say Minnesota too, to really – this is why those states are the most important when it comes to selling the Democratic platform, because once we get them, we have the presidency, we have the Senate, and we have the House which in turn, if we maintain that, we can also fix the judiciary imbalance. Because should something happen to somebody on the Supreme Court, whether it be impeached or pass away or resign or whatever the case might be, that person can be replaced with somebody who actually cares some. That's how we fix the system. So it's an incremental process. It's not easy, but it is simple.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I agree with you, Eric. It's my thought that people don't see this. No.
It just blows my mind. I mean, is every Republican super mega rich? Because don't they use Social Security, Medicare? Don't they have doctor bills? Don't they buy prescriptions? Yes. I mean, don't they want the IRS to audit the rich people and the corporations so they pay their fair share? What's the matter with them? Why aren't they against this?
Well, you know what? To me, this is – well, see, that's exactly why I have always been saying, especially since these last few election cycles. And I'll tell you this right now. This right now is the perfect time for Democrats to really, really make an example of the Republicans by – and this is why Biden has been really strong at calling out people like Rick Scott, who – Rick Scott constantly touted. Yeah, Rick Scott constantly touted about how he wanted to gut – Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of Republicans probably don't even believe it should exist. I don't think they're going to straight up say that. But we know a lot of probably are more likely to believe that. And I'll tell you, one of the Democratic podcasters that I listen to by the name of Sam Cedar, he runs a show on YouTube called The Majority Report. And I think that he had an accurate quote in 2016. He said that Donald Trump is bad for the Republican Party, whether he wins or loses. And we've actually seen an example of both of those things happening. So when he won in 2016, it was good for the Republicans temporarily because they did have every branch of government. They had the Supreme Court, White House, and both chambers of the Congress. But then his toxicity had just, you know, went out of control, and it costed the Republicans the House. They still were lucky enough to gain a couple seats in the Senate, but then we flipped that in 2020 as well as the White House, and then he ended up losing, which was also bad for Republicans. So what they don't realize, and maybe some of them realize it and are too afraid to say it, but they know that Trump's presence in the world of politics has been nothing more or less than a complete disaster and a complete catastrophe for the Republican Party. It's not just about it being a nightmare for America. Is that he caused his own party to lose. And a lot of them are so coward that they're still going to hold on to them, even when 90 to 95% of his candidates lost the midterms. And so this is what Democrats have to take advantage of. And, you know, Trump also had the opportunity to sign the American Rescue Plan Act. I saw this story in October in 2020, right before the election. And he had an opportunity to sign that, but then he stupidly said, well, I'm going to wait till after the election, and once I get reelected, then I'll sign it. Well, then he loses, and then that was one of the first things that Biden had signed, and he said, I signed it. The last guy could have signed it. He didn't. And so this is showing more people like, hey, we have the opportunity to do something for you. We're doing it, even if it's half of it, but the last guy had 4 years, didn't do any of it. And the best thing that we probably got out of that was the $1,200 stimulus checks because of COVID. But besides that, what much did we get before that? And so this is what we have to sell to people. And once that kicks into their heads, they'll make the right decision on who they're voting for come November.
And if you notice that on TV, like the head of the GOP now is a speaker against the GOP, I mean the party head, I forget his name. And then you see people on the news. They used to be Republican, working in the Republican White House and stuff, but not Trump's White House, but before that, like Bush and that, and they have nothing to do with the Republicans anymore. They're on the other side. So many of them ran from that party. Don't they realize that?
I know. No, I don't know.
A lot of them probably realize it and are too afraid to embrace it because, again, for the most part, they don't want to embrace the truth, and especially when it comes to somebody like Trump and a lot of their top leaders. They didn't want to embrace the truth with Mitch McConnell because Mitch McConnell said he wanted the Republicans to not run on policy. And so this is what more and more Americans are seeing, is that, well, we have two parties. One of them is at least saying that they're going to try to do this stuff for us and is attempting to pass legislation to fight for it, where the other party is saying, no, we're not even going to do that. it's just about we need to cut these programs because this is wasteful spending. And instead, what they refused to do was defund the tax cuts that they did in 2017, which was Paul Ryan's biggest legislative accomplishment from that year and Trump's. So, again, I tell people, I said, if you think that's helping you, I don't know how it is. But I said, just
plus,
know
plus, they got all those judges in, both Supreme Court all the way down, all the far-right judges, and they're overturning things left and right. You know, like
well, you know what?
Abortion and the rights and all that other stuff. There, you know, one judge can stop over-the-counter contraception. Give me a break. I mean, one judge?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's exactly why. And this is why it's tough when it comes to the Supreme Court, because those are lifetime appointments and not four-year terms, is that the problem with them is the only solution that we have is to continue to vote blue no matter who and elect the best Democrats possible. And then once something happens on the Supreme Court, we have the opportunity to show the Republicans that we're replacing them. We're not going to wait until it doesn't matter if it's before or after the election. Is that if you have the opportunity to do it, we need to push the White House and the senatorial Democrats to do it. We don't need any type of congressional approval from a Kevin McCarthy or anybody like that, because the Senate confirmations, last I checked, or the Supreme Court confirmations come from the Senate and then passed by, is confirmed by the president. So once we get to that point, we're going to have to continue to push it from there, because, I mean, most of these people that we have in the Supreme Court right now, I mean, it's just not doing it for us. So the way to move forward is to continue to vote blue up and down the ticket for president, for governor, for Senate, for Congress, for state rep, state Senate, county judges, state Supreme Court, all the way down to school board and city council. That's how you do it.
We got to beat the Bushes. We really do. They got to get out there. Like I said, scream from the rooftop, write articles in the paper, get the word out, educate people, talk to them.
Well, David and I right now are going to say a little bit about our mothers. We thank you, Eric and Susie, for calling in tonight. Tonight was our first Sunday show, so we had to change our schedule a little bit. So people probably don't know we've changed to Sunday now, so Sunday and Monday instead of Monday and Thursday. So this is going to be like this for a while now, so we'll see what happens. And thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Thank you, Eric.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
Susie,
yes,
good night.
Ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. And Lori, what's your last word?
My mom's been gone almost 4 years, and I still can hear her voice. I can... You know, listen, I can hear her laugh. And she was such a great influence to me in my life. She was a bleeding heart liberal just like me. And she cared about policy. She hated Donald Trump. We were best friends, really. We did a lot together, and I missed her. And I hope that, and, you know, carry a little bit of her with me into this show. And what about
For my mother, she died on July 23rd, 2014. I miss her every day. I was a hot mess, and if it wasn't for you and the show and people who call in and people who read the old blog and listen to the old radio show and you know, this new rebooted show and everything, and you support the new website kitchenpolitics123.com, I think I'd have lost mine already. You know, and she is the one who encouraged me to be a political blogger. She even came up with the name Kitchen Politics 123, you know, and how it happened is that you're in Thanksgiving atmosphere surroundings. And, you know, it's in the kitchen, and during Thanksgiving, usually politics come up, and so kitchen politics. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. So people like independent people or first-time voters, millennials, Generation Z, you know, we're here to inform and educate and enlighten people. You know, we're not trying to change
far-right people from what they think, because there's no changing them. There's no reasoning with them. You know, so hence the name Kitchen Politics 1, 2, 3, you know, and dummies are every day. You know, today is one of the hardest days. Her birthday, which is June 2nd, she was born in 1948, died July 23rd, 2014. She was very young, cancer, over cancer. You know, and you know how hard it was, you know, living in Macar for how much months, nowhere to stay, all that good thing, you know. So if it wasn't for you and this radio show, which is therapeutic for me, and the many listeners out there and the Facebook friends who, you know, give encouragement and everything, thank you so much. And
agree with
I love my mother dearly and miss her every damn day.
Me too. I miss my mom every day as well. This show gives me inspiration. I enjoy doing it as well. I'm happy to do it. I also feel that, you know, maybe it, if we change one person's mind, or maybe give someone a little bit of information that they didn't know yesterday, it's something. If we help lift the spirit, it's something. So, you know, that's what we're about. And we're not here, like I said, to demonize people, to argue with people. You know, we just want to have a pleasant show, go forward, and bring in facts and truth.
And, you know, please take Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, seriously. You know, because I think he's a viable threat to Joe Biden. He's a good debater and everything. And
I've listened.
That's the only person in the Republican field, even though he hasn't said anything if he's running or not. He is a viable threat. So take Chris Sununu seriously.
I agree with you.
So thank Eric. I want to thank Susan for calling in. So tomorrow night, same time, same place. 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Mountain Time. We'll look forward to hearing from everybody again. So this is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. We will see or talk to everyone tomorrow night. Everyone have a good evening. We love you all. Good night.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. Don't make the best of this past and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
I'll go on, I'll feel the pain. Give it to you anyway.